Good morning.
Good morning.
Great to be with you today. Before I read the scriptures from Psalm 27, a couple things. First of all, I just want to say how beautiful the sanctuary looks this morning. Next Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent. This is really putting me in the mood, seeing all of the wonderful decorations. And thank you all who do that. That's a significant ministry for all of us, and we appreciate your work. Second thing I would just say is I am living proof that you can live with one kidney. So your sister will be fine. Mine was taken for an altogether different reason. It was less than voluntary, but I just want to say that you can do it, and she can do it. So we'll be praying. Psalm 27 is just a marvelous psalm. And it's not actually the text of my message this morning, but it does shed light on the subject I'm going to be talking about. And so let me read this wonderful psalm of David, the 27th psalm. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord, to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and be high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Powerful words from God's word this morning. May he burn the truth into our hearts and minds from his word today. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, in these moments, we give you our attention. You have something you want to say to us this morning. And that may be different from person to person gathered here. But I pray, Lord, in these next few moments as I speak, we would all receive from you that we need to know and we need to hear, and that your Holy Spirit would then apply the truth in our lives. So speak to us this morning, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, we are coming up upon the Advent season. We know the nativity story very well. We're familiar with all of the events. We're familiar with the people who were involved. And in the coming weeks, we will see scenes such as the one on the piano there in many different places, depicted on Christmas cards and front lawns and social media and who knows where else. So we do know the story very well, and we know the people well. I have a quick one-question trivia quiz for you concerning all of that. And actually, it's an unfair question because there are many answers, and there's only one that I'm looking for. You ever wonder about that when you were in school? Or maybe some of you are teachers, forgive me. But the teacher will ask a question, you say, well, yes, but that's not the answer I was after. Well, I have an answer I'm after. The question is, what do Zechariah, Joseph, Mary, and the shepherds all have in common? And there are many things, right? The one I'm thinking of specifically is this. They all received a visit from an angel. In Matthew's account, Joseph is visited by an angel twice. Once to announce that Mary was pregnant, but that was okay, that it was by way of the Holy Spirit, and he should marry her because the baby is the promised Messiah. And then the angel visited Joseph one other time after the birth and said, Herod's going to kill all the babies. You better get Mary and the baby and flee to Egypt. In Luke's account, three times we're told that the angel of the Lord appeared to specific people. First, Zechariah, the priest. Second, Mary, mother of Jesus. And third, the shepherds on the hillside. Each individual or individuals had a very unique and special role in the whole nativity story. And the angel was the one who delivered the news to all of them that this is what was happening and this is the part that they were going to play in this drama. As I read those over again this week, I was struck by the fact of the similarities in all of these visits. When the angel visited Joseph and Zechariah and Mary and the shepherds, there were two things that were true each time. The first was the reaction of the recipients. They all reacted the same way. And the second is the initial words of the angel, which were the same in each case. I'm just going to look at the passages in Luke this morning. Hopefully I'll be done by tonight. How would you react if you were suddenly visited by an angel? What their reactions were interesting. In Luke 1:12, we read, when Zechariah saw the angel, he was startled and gripped with fear. In Luke 1:29, we read Mary's response. Mary was greatly troubled at his words. In the second chapter of Luke, we read the shepherds were terrified. So, let me conclude. Startled, gripped with fear, greatly troubled, terrified. Not exactly the reaction that you might expect from somebody who received a visit from an angel. But of course, we usually picture angels as cute little cherubs with little wings and halos and things like that, where we can actually tell from the scriptures that angels look very, very different than that. Now, those are the reactions. Startled, gripped with fear, troubled, terrified. What is the angel's response to them? Their first words. In each case, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Same response each time. The angel begins with a word of reassurance. Fear not. Don't be afraid. My point this morning in this message is that I believe God does not want us to live a life of fear. We are not to live lives characterized by fear, especially if we are his children. Do not be afraid, or fear not, or some variation of that, is one, if not the most repeated commands of God in the scriptures. Did you know that? It says, fear not or do not be afraid many, many more times than it tells us to love God and love others, believe it or not. I haven't done the research, but I'm guessing that other than the command to worship God, probably fear not or be not afraid is the most repeated admonition from God in the scriptures. And if you don't believe me this afternoon, when you get home, don't do it now. When you get home, take out your concordance and start looking them up. One person on the internet this week, so if it's on the internet, it must be true, right? Person said that they counted them up and said there would happen 365 times in the scriptures, or one for every day. Now, I don't know if that's true, but I do know there's a lot of them. We just read a couple of them in Psalm 27, didn't we? What was the theme of that passage? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. The problem is that you can't really command feelings. I mean, if you're sad, my telling you, don't be sad. Oh, okay. Any of you who have ever been in a depressed state or know people who are, it doesn't work that way, does it? Emotions, you can't really command them. They just sort of are. They come and for various reasons, and we need to learn how to manage them. So simply to say, don't be afraid, well, I don't know if that's going to do a lot of good in many people's lives. Don't be fearful. Okay. But they'll continue to be fearful, or many will. The problem is, like I say, you can't command emotions and feelings. It is helpful if we have some reasons not to fear. If we have some reasons that will motivate us to not live a life of fear and remind us that we don't have to if we are God's people. Thankfully, God gives us a host of those reasons. And obviously, I'm not going to touch every one of them today. What I want to do is look at those accounts where the angel spoke to people in the nativity scene, specifically the three in Luke, and see the reasons the angel gives. The angel says to Zechariah and Mary and the shepherds, don't be afraid. But then the shepherd also tells them why. Why they need not fear. And those reasons are just as valid today, and they are just as valid for each one of us if we are believers in Jesus Christ. So we can insert our name in there and hear the angel saying these words to every single one of us here. Let's take a look at them. The first reason given is that God hears our prayers. Our prayers are heard. If we go to the story of Zechariah, you remember the story, he's a priest, he's ministering in the temple, and the angel comes, and we've already seen that he's startled, gripped with fear. The angel says, do not be afraid, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. What prayer? Well, it could be a couple of things, really. Maybe it was the prayer of all of the Jews at that particular time who would faithfully be praying, Lord, send the Messiah. in our lifetime, send the Messiah. It would be very much in keeping that Zechariah would be praying that, not just this occasion, but many, many times. Or maybe it refers to Zechariah's specific prayer. He and Elizabeth were childless, and they were beyond childbearing age, we read. And they had probably prayed for years that God would give them a child. The angel says, Zacharias, your prayer has been heard. In both cases, he'd no doubt prayed for years, maybe even tempted or had given up hope. Now he's told that not only will he father a child, but that this child would be no ordinary child. This child would be the forerunner of the Messiah, the promised one who would come to usher in the Messianic age. We know him, of course, as John the Baptist. In effect, the angel says, both your prayers are being answered. The prayer for the Messiah to come, and the prayer for a child. God's answer was greater than he could have possibly imagined. He probably was the first person on earth to have found out that Messiah was very shortly going to be on the scene. What a blessing. I want us to know this morning that our prayers are heard as well. God answers our prayers in his perfect way and in his perfect timing. An author by the name of Roland Bingham wrote a book. The title of the book is one I've always loved. The book is entitled, The God Who Hears. That is our God. When you pray, you don't get a busy signal. Oh boy, that shows how old I am, doesn't it? When you pray, you don't get a message saying his voice box is full. Voice. Or that his inbox is overflowing. Or that you have to take a number. When we pray, God hears. Any number of scriptures we could point to say that. Psalm 34:17 simply says, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. Have you ever had occasion to say to somebody, been in a conversation, and you kind of realize they may be nodding their heads or they may be there, but you really know they're not really listening to me. Their mind's someplace else. Am I the only one that has that experience? I was going to say I have it every Sunday morning, but not with you folks. Not with you folks. You folks are great. Other churches. But you know what it's like when you're talking and you have to say, you know, are you listening to me? Are you actually hearing me? Or in the phrase we all say, can you hear me now? We never have to ask that of God, do we? He's the God who hears. Whether our prayers are loud cries or just silent musings, he hears them. And because God hears our prayers, we need not fear. The second reason, or a second reason, why we don't need to fear that we find in the angel's message is when he spoke to Mary and he told her that she had found favor with God. You have found favor with God. She would be given an honor given to no other person in history. She would be the one who would actually bear the Messiah and raise him from infanthood into adulthood. Why her? The scripture doesn't give any real reason. I mean, we can take some guesses as we see how her life unfolds and what we read about her throughout Jesus' life. But at this particular point, we really don't know. It just says that she found favor. By the way, that phrase, find favor, is also a definition of the word grace, isn't it? Unmerited favor, isn't that what grace is? When God gives us something we don't deserve? And it's a gift, as we talked about last week. One author said, everyone in the body of Christ is highly favored because God has accepted us through the justification brought about by Christ's sacrifice. You ever thought of yourself as being highly favored by God? You should. You should. He's extended to you his grace. Not because you earned it, not because you merited it, not because you're such a wonderful person that he's rewarding you with it. It's all grace. Where would any of us be without it? God's unmerited favor has been extended to all his children. It includes each one of us. We found favor by being allowed to be God's children. What an honor that is. Be able to call God our Father? I hope we never just use that and not stop for a moment and think, wow, I get to call God Father because I'm his child. Unmerited favor. If we will believe and repent and receive what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, accept the gift that he gives us of salvation, we become his children and think of all the blessings that come as a result of being a child of God in that special sense. Mary found favor with God, it says, so she was not to fear. You and I have found favor with God, so we need not fear. The third reason we need not fear is what was told to the shepherds. Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy that shall be to all people. There is good news of great joy. The word good news, I'm sure you know, can also be translated gospel. And maybe you've heard somewhere along the line that the word gospel comes from a Greek word, euangelion, which is the word we get the word evangel from, which means good news, or evangelism, which means sharing the good news, or evangelist, who is a person who shares the good news. The shepherds are told there's good news of great joy. And what is that good news? Probably the easiest way, the most succinct way of remembering it is that most beloved of all scripture verses for the believer, John 3:16. If you happen to know it, say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's good news, amen? That's good news. R.C. Sproul says, the gospel is called the good news because it addresses the most serious problem that you and I have as human beings. And that problem is simply this: God is holy, he is just, and we're not. The gospel is good news. God has done something about that problem. He sent his son. And through his son's atoning death and victorious resurrection, the barrier between us is destroyed. And if we will repent and believe and receive his gift, we no longer have to live in fear. Good news of great joy. That certainly was true for the shepherds, because how did they return to their flock after having gone to Bethlehem? You think they went kind of with their heads down like this? Or did they return joyful, praising God? What an incredible privilege they had. They were among the first people to actually lay eyes on the fulfillment that was predicted all the way back in the Garden of Eden, that someday a Redeemer, a Savior, a Messiah would come. Good news of great joy. The joy that is offered to us comes from the good news, and it cannot be obtained anywhere else. Other things may be able to give you happiness and certain amounts of joy, but there is a joy that can only be experienced when you recognize the good news and embrace that as your own. True joy emanates from the truth of the gospel, God's love, his salvation, his presence. Because the gospel is good news, we need not fear. We have seen in our world in the last couple decades or so, especially, and obviously way before that, but we have seen fear played out in our world in recent years. Back on 9/11, fear suddenly gripped many in our nation as we all realized that things like that didn't just happen in a half a globe away, but they could happen anywhere. They could happen even in our nation. Do you remember the fear? Maybe you had some of it in those early days after that. And then we went through the pandemic. And I know, because I talked to a lot of people, that there are a lot of people who were living in fear during 2020 and 2021 especially. Afraid to go out. Afraid that they're going to get it. Afraid that they're going to die. There was great fear in our land. And then we have something like a mass shooting right in our own backyard. And again, fear. Remember those couple days before he was discovered? Fear. I know people that didn't go out of their house during those days, because they were fearful. There are no shortage of reasons, and one might even call them justifiable reasons, to be afraid. Not only on a societal scale, but in our individual lives. How are we as believers supposed to live amidst all of these things that cause fear? We need to hear the angel's message. We need to hear the angel's message today. And the message of the entire Bible. God says, we don't need to fear. We don't need to fear. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Over and over and over again. Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound mind. So when you're fearful, remember, especially this time of year, because we'll see it everywhere. Maybe it'll be a reminder to us whenever we see the nativity story portrayed, sung about, whatever. If you're fearful, remember, your prayers are being heard. You have found favor with God. And you are an inheritor of the good news. All of those are true of you if you are a believer and follower of Jesus Christ. I'll simply end with one of the great verses of Scripture, the kind of verse you want to memorize or maybe put on a 3x5 card in somewhere in your house or whatever. Isaiah 41:10. Don't be afraid. This is God speaking. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. The message of the angel, do not fear. Zechariah, Mary, these shepherds needed to hear it. And so do we. Do not fear. That's what the angel said to them and to us. Heavenly Father, thank you that there's an antidote to fear, and you've made it available to us. And I pray, Lord, we would hear the message of the angel, not just today, but in this coming week and coming weeks. Remind us, Lord, when we are tempted to give in to our fears. Remind us, Lord, that our prayers are being heard, that we have found favor with you, and that we have received good news of great joy. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The hymn we're going to sing is Like a River Glorious. Number 343, I believe it is, in your hymn book, Like a River Glorious. It speaks of the peace that God gives us that we need not fear. So let's stand and sing it together.